Grapevine on 99.3 County FM. I'm Lynn Pickering. Last Monday, Pamela Stagg, producer-host of The County Naturally, was presented with an Ontario Senior Achievement Award by Minister for Seniors and Accessibility, Raymond Cho, and Lieutenant Governor Edith Dumont. The citation reads in part, quote, "For her knowledge of the natural world and her efforts as a broadcaster to educate the community, both through her program, The County Naturally, on 99.3 County FM, for over a decade, and segments broadcast nationally on the CBC," end quote. Well, I'm happy to say Pamela joins me once again on the Monday Grapevine. Welcome back, Pamela, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
You went to Queen's Park for the ceremony. What was that like?
It was magical. The Lieutenant Governor's suite, where the presentation was held, is like a mansion within Queen's Park. 20-foot ceilings, mahogany paneling, gorgeous chandeliers. The aides were so helpful, and the Lieutenant Governor is so warm and friendly. It was just a delight.
You are only one of 18 to receive this award for 2025. It puts you in pretty good company.
I was honored to be there.
I want to go back in time and tell me how your interest in nature and all that goes with it developed.
My parents used to rent a cottage on the East Coast. It was very remote and there was nothing to do. So I would go out and I would explore the shore and explore the woods. And one day my uncle gave me a copy of Roger Tory Peterson's Field Guide to Birds. Field guides have changed a lot since then. It was very expensive to do photographic reproductions, so all the illustrations were about the size of a postage stamp, and very few were in color. So it was a real struggle to identify birds. But I persisted and eventually started to identify things with a certain degree of accuracy.
Well, you've interviewed scientists and researchers from around the world. Who are some that you consider outstanding that have been on the show?
I have to start with Terry Sprague.
Oh, the great Terry Sprague.
The great Terry Sprague, who was so helpful for me in the beginning. I don't think I could have got the program started without him. The Canadian Museum of Nature was also extremely helpful in those early days. I remember particularly an early interview with geologist Dr. Scott Ursit. And after we talked about rocks and he realized how little I knew about the evolution of the continents, he took me to the cafeteria and drew the evolution of the continents on the back of a napkin for me. And Sue Meach of Sandy Pines Wildlife Center is a hero for the work she does rehabilitating injured and orphaned wildlife. Right now, I'm particularly interested in paleontology because of the changes, the huge changes that DNA research is creating for that profession and really opening our eyes to what was fully there in, say, the Ice Age. Dr. Matt Wooler of University of Alaska Fairbanks is doing remarkable work with DNA and also isotopes. He was able to track the travels of a woolly mammoth over the course of its lifetime 18,000 years ago, believe it or not. And in 2023, he was on an expedition to the Bering Sea. They were taking core samples from lake beds at the bottom of the Bering Sea and bringing up these samples, which are now being analyzed for the DNA, and they're able to tell everything that was there, the animals, the birds, the plants, even the viruses, which is astounding, and 10 years ago could not have been done.
That is amazing. And so they're attracting DNA, what, from the bones?
There's something called environmental DNA, and that's DNA that might have been shed by even a fish scale. They're doing this work at Glenora too. So the animal or bird or fish is long gone, but the DNA from the fish scale remains in the water. You can do a water test, or you can test soil coming out of permafrost, and you can actually decide, yes, there was a grass carp in the reach, or there was a woolly mammoth in Beringia, the Bering Land Bridge.
Oh, gosh, it's really fascinating. I can understand why you're fascinated by it. And you have more on your list. Well, you've interviewed so many.
I have interviewed so many. Jeff Bonds is a geologist. He was with the Yukon Geological Survey. And he ties into Matt Wooler because that expedition was using maps that he created. He was commissioned by the Beringia Museum in Whitehorse, which I love. They decided they needed a new updated map of Beringia. So they went to the Geological Survey, and he took it very seriously. He looked at Russian naval maps. He looked at NASA images. He looked at data from the NOAA, the Weather and Environmental Organization in the U.S., and he produced this map of Beringia that was used to find the lakes under the Bering Sea. But when we were talking ahead of time, he said, oh, did you hear the story about the baby woolly mammoth? And I said, no. And he said, I was working up in Dawson City, and I got a call from Yukon's official paleontologist, which is very important up there. And he said they had found a baby woolly mammoth in a gold mine. And the problem was there was a storm coming in, and he was afraid the baby woolly mammoth was going to be damaged by the storm. So the paleontologist asked me to go and collect the woolly mammoth and take it to a commercial freezer in Dawson City. And it's interesting, everyone who handled that baby woolly mammoth found it so moving. They actually chartered a plane to take it to a conservation institute in Ottawa. And I thought, you just gave me two wonderful stories in one.
When you do your research, and I know you do extensive research, how are you locating all these stories?
I read a lot online and in magazines, and whenever I see something interesting, I contact someone. Sometimes it's not the right person. I heard about this Beringia map, and so I contacted the Beringia Museum, and they said, oh, the person you want to talk to is the paleontologist, and he passed me on to the geologist. And sometimes right out of the blue, I'll contact someone. I read an article about coffee and climate change, and they made mention of Dr. Aaron Davis in London, England. And so I contacted Kew, Royal Botanic Gardens, and they put me through to him. I'm amazed that we're a small station in a place that many people had never heard of, and they are willing to talk to me. Americans in particular say that science is so threatened in the US, they are delighted to talk to someone who wants to talk about science.
Well, speaking of talking about science on the radio, when did you decide that a program about nature would suit the new radio station that was coming to the county in 2014?
I actually wasn't the person who did. It was decided for me, and I was contacted by the then chairman, Treat Hull, and I said, I can't possibly do it. I don't know enough about technology. And someone else from the board came to me and said, Pamela, you have got to do this. So I finally said, okay.
It was an order.
It was an order, yes.
Well, Pamela, I remember sitting at your dining room table 12 years ago as we tried to figure out how to edit on Audacity. And I would say that we've both come a long way since then.
I was starting from absolute ground zero. And as you know, the CRTC license came through so quickly, there was no time to train. So I was told, Audacity is your editing program. Here's a video. You figure it out. The first program took me about 5 or 6 days, working 9 in the morning till 9 at night to figure it out. And there was a point when I said, I just can't do this. And then I pulled myself together and said, okay, I'll try it for a year. And if I haven't figured it out by a year and I'm not doing good work by a year, I'll quit. And here we are 12 years later.
Exactly. And I think we're finding it fairly easy to edit now.
Yes. And it's a lot more fun and interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many people know that you're a very accomplished and award-winning artist. And I understand that began with a course in botanical painting. And I gather that involves flowers, plants, vegetables, fruits, sort of all things like that. How does botanical painting differ from, say, an artist doing a still life of flowers?
Botanical art has a very strict standard, and it's absolute accuracy as to color and form, which doesn't leave you much leeway.
When did you begin to paint?
I started botanical painting in 1987, and my teacher kept telling me I needed to show competitively in London. She kept nagging me, nagging. Finally said, okay, I will go over. And I was astounded when I came home with the world's top prize.
Well, yes, and you had just sort of begun. And then you won the Royal Horticultural Society's gold medal. And what was the subject of that painting?
It was 8 paintings of Canadian garden irises.
My goodness, and where are the paintings now?
I have 2 of them, and the rest were sold.
Okay. And are you still actively painting? Are you entering any of these contests?
I'm not showing anymore. Occasionally I paint, but as you know, radio is pretty all-encompassing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, now you have another award to add to your collection. I want to congratulate you again, Pamela. County FM is very lucky to have you.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
Pamela Stagg is producer and host of The County Naturally, heard each Wednesday on The County Grapevine. Up next, in case you missed it, The Adventurous Life and Heroic Death of Lieutenant Henry Edward Baines from Marc Seguin's book, Cruise of the Breeze. Stay with 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.